Okay, we are on air. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Dream On podcast. This is a very special episode because today we have a guest with us. She was so kind. She reached out through the Instagram and agreed to do an interview about sleep paralysis, which, unlike me, is something that she's experienced. So I will let her introduce herself now. What's your name?
Hi, I'm Ariane. Just a brief intro. I'm 31. That will probably be relevant to some of the things I'm going to tell you about. I'm from Canada, Saskatchewan specifically, and I've been experiencing sleep paralysis since I was really little and lucid dreaming too. So I found this podcast and I've been listening for a little while, and I'm just like really excited to be here. So thanks for having me.
I'm really excited to have you. When I asked for people to reach out and talk about sleep paralysis, I did not know if anyone was going to answer. Thankfully, I did get a few like really good responses, and yours was one of them.
Awesome.
Like I was talking about in the sleep paralysis episode, this is surreal for me because I do this by myself. I don't normally have someone to talk to, but like in that episode, like it's something that I think more people experience than talk about it because it's something that's scary for a lot of people. And so I didn't know if people were going to be willing to talk about it, especially if it's something that they like don't understand very well. Like maybe it's only happened to them a couple times. But I'm glad because you reached out, and then two other people also reached out. And you were all willing to talk to me live on the podcast. So I'm hoping that we get some good information out there because misinformation seems to plague the world in
Sure.
a lot of different ways. So so I have my list right here of interview questions.
Sure.
And it's okay if you don't have it. But I do have it, so we'll be following kind of a guide as we go along. But like all the other episodes of the podcast, it's going to be kind of a free discussion. So you can take it in whatever direction you want to go. If I need to, I'll steer us back, but I don't think that that'll be a problem. So you said that your first sleep paralysis experience was when you were pretty young. So, do you want to talk more about that?
Yeah, I can't say for sure like what that incident was because I don't actually remember the very first time.
Yeah.
What I do remember is telling my grandmother about it and her telling me that she had had it, and that also my father and my aunt, who are both her children, had it. And so that was how I knew I wasn't dying because it
Yeah.
was obviously really scary. And I think before, even after I knew that she'd had it, my big fear was always that I was going to get stuck in that state. And so I spent like quite a few years really afraid of it because I didn't understand it. And like you said, there's not a lot of information on it,
Yeah.
and most people haven't even heard of it. So yeah, that's why I don't tend to talk about it, because it's not something,
Yeah.
if you haven't had it, you're probably not going to have heard of it.
It's like
But
it's niche. It's almost niche. It's
Although
like,
it is now in like, some pop culture, like The Haunting of Hill House
oh
is
my
a
gosh.
fun sleep paralysis storyline. But
Yeah.
anyway, so I don't remember the first time, but I do remember it was scary, and having the reassurance from my family that it had also happened to them. And the interesting thing too is that they all said they grew out of it in their 30s, which is why I
Oh.
mentioned my age, because I hope I don't grow out of it. Because I actually use it to get into a lucid dream. And I would be really sad if it went away.
Yeah,
So,
you'd have to like learn to lucid dream without it. Like you'd have to almost
yeah, but
not
I
from
can.
yeah.
Like, I've done that too. It's
Yeah.
just that with sleep paralysis, it's like 100% almost, like maybe not quite 100, but it's like I'm almost guaranteed to go into a
Yeah.
lucid dream. And with like otherwise, it's more just like I have to recognize that I'm dreaming in some other capacity.
Yeah. So how do you make that shift? Like I guess we're talking about it super early in the episode, but I haven't experienced sleep paralysis. I only lucid dream from inside the dream. So, and like I've fallen into a dream from being awake, but okay. But I think that it's a little bit different because I would assume, like in sleep paralysis, it's like your body is physically already, it already thinks it's trying to sleep, right? So like I guess you're halfway there.
But yeah, it is a halfway state.
Yeah.
Both. It's like your mind is awake, but your body is still in the paralysis mode that you're supposed to be in.
Yeah.
When you're dreaming. Yeah.
Yeah. So how do you get from paralyzed and awake to like in proper sleep, I guess, but in the lucid dream?
Yeah. So this took me years to master because, like I said, it started scary. And I actually know how to wake myself up from sleep paralysis. It's pretty hard. Basically, I can move my hands and my feet, and by jerking those parts of my body with like all the energy I can muster, if I do that repeatedly over and over, I can wake up. So that's what I was doing. I was waking myself up every time it happened, and then I would basically wake up in this really groggy state, and then I would generally fall right back into it, because unless I get up and move around physically, you just fall right back in.
Whoa.
Yeah, so that would happen. But then I remember I don't know what I was Googling or researching, but I was trying to learn a bit more about it, and I found some internet rabbit hole, and people were saying that they can do out-of-body experiences through sleep paralysis, and I don't have any opinion on that. For me, it doesn't really feel, I don't know if that's what's happening, but it is really cool in what happens, because what happens is I have to allow the sleep paralysis to happen. I have to decide that I'm going to calm down, take deep breaths, and just let it be. And it usually takes like what feels like a minute or two. Who knows? You're not in the normal like,
yeah.
time state. And then I start to sort of, often I'll hear a really loud noise, like a ringing, or like it. The only way I can describe it is like a frequency shift. Like if you were like tuning your radio, you can like hear this really loud thing, and it's very jarring and very scary. And I sink past that state, and then I end up in like the void, I think you've called it. I didn't have a word for that, but you
yeah.
called it that, and that was like exactly what it was. And
yeah.
at that point, I can still feel my body, but I can start to feel my dream body,
yeah.
which is really cool. So
yeah.
I can start to move my arms within my body. And it's not my real arms, it's my dream arms.
Mm-hmm.
And then I get up, and I'm always in whatever room I'm sleeping in, which I find really interesting because like I've lived in a lot of places, and it takes me months for my subconscious to catch up with like
yeah.
where I live in a dream. But with the sleep paralysis and with this particular experience, I always know exactly where I am, even if I'm in a hotel.
Oh my gosh.
And like, so I get up out of my body. I don't see my body laying in the bed or anything, but I'm in this like black and white world of the room. And then what I do, I usually get scared of the room. I'm like, I don't want to see what's in here. I don't know why that's my first thought, but it is. And then I usually take off through a wall or a window, and that's when I'm in a dreamscape. Like, once I get out of the room, like, I'm in a city or, like, a field or whatever the dream is, and I'm lucid and I'm just flying around, and then I'm in a dream.
Yeah.
But that's the transition.
Oh my gosh, that's so cool.
And it's the same every time. Like, it's always that getting up out of my body and leaving through a wall or window.
Yeah. So, as far as, like, taking years to master all that, I can understand that just because there's so many steps to it. That's a pretty complex process to have to master and experience all those times. Like, just, I mean, the fact of originally that you would have to go from understanding and accepting the fact that you're like trapped in your body in the middle of the night, like that in and of itself, I think that for some people that would honestly be impossible, because that takes so much like possession of yourself to just decide like, oh my gosh, like I know I need to be okay with this, and to just decide
yes.
like that would take so much determination to just
yes,
decide that.
Still wake myself up sometimes.
Yeah.
There's still times where I'm like, I'm in too uncomfortable a position
yeah.
to allow myself to lay here for a minute, or I feel like I can't breathe properly because
mm-hmm.
my face is in the pillow or something. and I just don't commit. So yeah, that's why it's taken so long, because it's like I'm not in the space to do it every time, and it is still jarring. But it's like, I guess I've come to a point where I love my lucid dreams so much that I'm like, it's worth it, and it's like, why not? Yeah. I know I'm not going to die or get hurt or become permanently paralyzed, so yeah. It's just a matter of getting through that first initial step.
Yeah. So. Oh my gosh, that's so crazy. So, do you have any advice for people who experience sleep paralysis?
I don't want to be presumptuous that people are having kind of like easy breezy sleep paralysis episodes like I do.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that like learning about it and knowing that it's okay will help you. Like we talked about how, you know, the reassurance I had from my family, knowing it was hereditary, knowing they were okay, possibly played into me not having terrifying experiences. So definitely like making sure you understand that you're okay.
Yeah.
Would be helpful, I imagine. And if you're not having too terrifying of an experience, I would just try to let it happen as often as you can, and like try to resist the temptation to wake yourself up if that's something you're capable of doing, or kind of panicking, and just know that you're very likely going into a very interesting state of reality if you just wait it out. And yeah, just try to stay calm.
Yeah,
I know that's hard to do, and I don't want to give that advice to somebody who's having like absolutely terrifying episodes. Like maybe that's not for them, but yeah, I think I wrote some stuff down.
Yeah, go ahead.
Let me see if I got it all.
Yeah, because this is an area that I cannot help people with at all.
Yeah.
So I have a lot of lucid dreaming experience, but when it comes to sleep paralysis, I'm completely out of my depth, because it's just something that I have not confronted and probably never will. So any advice that you can provide people, I'm sure would be appreciated, especially if their families can't help them with it like yours could.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I didn't write much else down. I think try to maintain your awareness, like try to sort of maybe focus on something, know that you probably will see and hear things that are scary. For me, I hear things that are really loud. Like, I think just like honestly reading about other people's experiences, especially ones that aren't terrifying, which might be hard to find.
Yeah.
But I just hope that like whoever's listening can know that I am someone who doesn't have the most terrifying experiences. So it's possible. And I don't think it has anything to do with ghosts or, you know, anything dark. I think that's just your mind and your dream world maybe bleeding in, and
yeah
I don't have much else to say. I wish I had more advice for people,
you know. I think in and of itself that is helpful for people to hear. I really do, because sometimes it's good to just know that you're not by yourself in something like that. Like knowing that there are other people who even like around the world in that very moment are experiencing the same thing. Like, it's okay. You're going to make it. You're not the only one. Yeah. Like, there's nothing wrong with you. Mm-hmm. You know, everything will be okay.
And I do know for 100% certain that you will not get stuck in paralysis.
Yeah. You know, 30 years of experience, you've never been stuck forever. You've been okay. Like, everyone's going to be fine. Okay, so looking back at our questions on our list, I wanted to ask if you've had, so for you, your like sleep paralysis episodes, you've learned to make them into lucid dreams, which obviously, I think we would both count as like a pretty positive experience.
Yes.
So, as far as like experiences, not in like dreams, but in that state before them, where you're actually still in your body and you're not transitioning to sleep yet. What is that part like for you? Like, you described the transition, like the loud noise and like getting there, but what about before?
Yeah, so it's a little different every time, and it's different for everybody. Like, when I read about it, what I consistently hear, or at least often, is that people feel a presence in the room, and I felt that too. But for me, it's never been a scary presence. Like, lots of people will like think someone's like sitting on them, or like there's like a demon in the corner. I've heard like terrifying things, but for me, it's always like somebody that's already in my house, or like somebody who I would expect to be coming into my room. Like, I'm not shocked that they're there. I know who it is. I actually had sleep paralysis last night, and my cat was cuddling with me, and I thought I felt her crawl over me, which she does all the time, while it was happening. But like, you don't actually know if she was or not, right? Because like, you feel and you see things that like are, I guess, a bit of a spillover from your dream, right? Like, so sometimes I'm just by myself. Other times I feel a presence. It's never really bad. But it's just, like, I guess it just feels like I'm totally fully paralyzed. I can wrench my eyes open. I can move my fingers and feet, like I said. But everything else is like stuck. Like, I don't even think I can move my tongue, but like, I can breathe fine.
Mm-hmm.
So some people say they can't breathe. Like, that sounds absolutely awful. So I'm lucky that I don't have like really terrifying experiences with it, other than the fact that it's just like paralysis is scary. But
and do you think that part of the fact that you don't ever recall your experiences being so horrific is because you had like that support from the beginning with like your grandma and your family? Do you think that impacted it at all? Like, do you think, I guess I'm asking if like your preconceptions of what it was and what would happen impacted what it actually became as time went on?
Yeah, I think it might have. That's a good question. It's not something I've really thought of before, but like, I'm sure it did. Like, to know that like it was going to be okay versus like just pure terror of like absolutely having no idea what's happening to you.
Yeah.
I imagine that level of fear could like make some really scary shit happen.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, that's probably true.
Yeah. Cause I just like, for me, when I'm thinking about like what dreams are, like, so many people, when they start looking into lucid dreaming, like, one of their major questions is like, okay, well, what if I think of something scary when I'm in the dream? And just the fact that you're thinking that is going to manifest something scary. Like, you have to have that, like, you have to have that power over yourself, and you can't let your thoughts go in that direction, period, because then it's going to get away from you, and because you're going to just destroy it for yourself. And I feel like in sleep paralysis, even though it's not lucid dreaming, it's like a similar state where your mind has so much power because your body is like out of commission. So at that point, it's like, whatever your thoughts are and like your feelings about what's happening, other than like the understandable emotions of like, whoa, I can't move, like, I think that you could definitely make it better or worse for yourself.
I think you're right.
Yeah. Like, just based on what I know, like, I think that would make a lot of sense if the same thing applied.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I do feel like less fear even than I did before. Like, it's just, it's happened so many times at this point that it's like, I know what it is, and I know I'm okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
But yeah, if it only happened to you like once or twice, like, you don't have the time to repeat it. And yeah, that would be terrifying.
Yeah. So, a lot of people see stuff in sleep paralysis. There's like, people feel a presence, they feel something sitting on them, but they also say that they like see things moving around. Have you ever like seen anything? So I guess as far as visual hallucinations, or
Well, I feel like I can open my eyes and then I can see the room, but it's hard to know if that's a dream or not, right?
That's so true.
I feel like I can just see, but it's also like I may very well not be seeing. Like with my cat, like I don't know if she was there or not. Like I couldn't say.
Yeah.
But no, I don't usually see things, and part of that is like I'm usually like curled up in some weird position. So when I feel someone come in the room or sit down on the bed or whatever it is that they're doing, I can't see them because I'm not facing that way.
Yeah.
And like often I'm in like that void space too, where it's like I can't see anything.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really actually remember any like big hallucinations. I'm trying to think, but
yeah,
that's not a prominent memory for me.
Yeah. But so if it did happen, it just wasn't that big a deal to you because yes. You don't remember it. So
yeah.
Yeah. So have you ever, so like a couple questions, and I'm going to say them both now so I don't forget them.
Sure.
But at what point do you experience sleep paralysis? So like, do you experience it like during a nap, or like what time of the night do you normally experience it? Is it like a morning thing or like right after you go to sleep? And then also, it's kind of a long shot, but like, has another person been actually in the room when you've had sleep paralysis and like seen you go through it? Or so those are separate questions, but I didn't want to forget them.
So one of the ways that I can almost at like maybe an 80% rate induce it is to get up in the very early hours of the morning, like maybe 5 a.m. and I usually sleep till about 8, so I guess that's dependent on like what your sleep cycle is.
Yeah.
But a few hours before it's time to wake up, get up for 15 or 20 minutes and go back to sleep, then it almost, it very regularly happens. And that's actually something I've heard for lucid dreamers as well. Like you can often induce lucid dreaming that way. Also, yes, when I have a nap, it does happen too. And it's not always in those times. Like I've woken up in the middle of the night with it. I've woken up when I haven't gotten up in the morning. Like, but those are ways that I can more commonly experience it, or am more likely to experience it.
Yeah. So it's definitely tethered to lighter sleep for sure.
Right. Yeah. It feels like it's tethered to REM, mm-hmm. but it also feels like it's tethered to light sleep. So yeah, it's like this weird sort of in-between space. I don't know how to explain it.
You know, I feel like you hit that a lot when it comes to dream sort of things. Yes. It's like, well, it's kind of here, but it's also kind of there. And like, you're left with a lot of questions and you're left with a lot of like personal anecdotes. Mm-hmm. And together, if you were to take everyone's personal anecdotes, you could probably come up with some data that made sense. Yeah. But until someone with the resources does that, we're kind of just all left on our own to like come up with our own theories. So has anyone ever like actually been there when you've had sleep paralysis? Or
yes, so I've like, if I've been in a relationship and I've been sharing a bed with somebody, then it's like yes, it's definitely happened. And those times I'm like doing the hand foot movement thing, and I'm like pretty convinced that if they were to like become aware of me, that they could wake me up out of it. And I don't know if that's true, because like I don't know if you saw The Haunting of Hill House, but like in that storyline, the girl gets sleep paralysis and her husband is like very aware that she's having it, and is like holding her and stuff, and he can't wake her up out of it, and she just has to like ride it out. But nobody has ever like noticed me in it.
Okay.
So I don't know.
Okay.
This morning when I had sleep paralysis and I felt my cat walking on me, I thought that was like potentially a sign that I can't be woken up out of it, if that was in fact
if
my
it
cat.
Was the cat, but who knows. Yeah,
but if it was her and she was walking on me, then it didn't wake me up. And if I were asleep and someone touched me like that, I would wake up.
Mm-hmm.
So it made me think that like maybe I can't be shaken out of it, but I really don't know. And I would love for like anyone listening or for you to pose that question, like, has anyone been woken up out of it? Like, or did you have to ride it out?
Yeah.
I don't know. No one's ever woken me up in that position.
Yeah. It's just, it's so interesting. Like, I'm glad that I haven't experienced it, because it doesn't sound pleasant, but, it's one of those things that, like, I think it's for sure closely tied to the whole lucid dreaming thing, just because of, like, you know, light sleep and the void and, like, all of those things are obviously related to each other.
Yeah.
But, and again, it's one of those things that people don't talk about and they don't know about, and there's just so little awareness and mm-hmm. so many questions that people have, even though a ton of people experience it all the time, and yeah. and they go through it and they have no idea what it is. And mm-hmm. in a lot of cultures, I'm sure that it's like, you know, considered demon possession and all sorts of that stuff, like, that pop up in other places, that I'm grateful I was not raised in a culture like that, because yes. I don't, like, how would you even cope with something like that? Or even lucid dreaming, thinking that there was this horrible, like, nefarious aspect to all of it. Like,
from my personal position now, I just wouldn't believe them.
Yeah.
But when you're raised in it, like, yeah, I don't know. I'm not in a position to say, but, like, how could you hate lucid dreaming? Like, how could yeah. you not see it as, like, a really fun, insightful, like, way to sort of experience your own mind? Like, I don't know. I just, it would be tough to, like, I can't even fathom anyone seeing it that way, but
yeah,
I don't know. That would suck.
Yeah. So are there any specific sleep paralysis experiences that stand out to you, or maybe, like, lucid dreams from sleep paralysis that, like in your mind are really prominent for some reason?
Well, I think the most sort of prominent ones are the ones where, like, because I don't always go to a dream, right? Like, I don't always, sometimes I wake myself up, sometimes I just fall into sleep, sometimes I just fall into a regular dream and I don't know I'm dreaming.
Yeah.
So the ones that are really exciting for me are, like, when I feel that whole process occur and I, like, end up in a dream. So we kind of already talked about that.
Yeah.
There's nothing, the most notable thing for me that I just, like, hope is interesting to other people too, is just that I am always wherever I'm sleeping, regardless of, like,
yeah.
if I know that space or not. I find that so fascinating. And yeah, I mean, like, going through the walls and windows, that's something I've practiced in lucid dreams for years. So it's like, that feels like a crossover.
Yeah. You know? That is so, like, interesting that you're in the yeah. same place as when you went to sleep. Mm-hmm. Like, that, I would not have expected that. That is so interesting.
Yeah, I know. That one gets me a little bit.
Yeah.
What's happening here?
Yeah, that's for sure. People who talk about astral projection, that's definitely a mark yes. in their favor.
Right, and it's that black and white sort of world too, which, like, again, is how that's described.
Yeah.
But, like, the reason I don't, you know, comment on that is because as soon as I leave my room, it's a dream. Like, I would,
yes.
unless the astral world is incredibly colorful yeah. and exciting. Exactly
yeah. For sure. She's actually a family friend, and after I did the aphantasia episode, I was talking about it at our table, and she was at our house, and she actually found out that she had aphantasia just from that. She didn't know that other people saw pictures in their head, but what's interesting is when I was talking to her, she is one of the people who lucid dreams and didn't know what it was. Like, she knew that she could control her dreams sometimes, but she didn't know, like, I guess she didn't know just, like, in general that a lot of people do that and all that stuff. But for her, astral projection, like, whether you want to say it's a dream or an out-of-body experience, whatever it is, that's something that she did a lot. just in a lot of her dreams. And because she had aphantasia, it was really interesting talking to her about it, because when she wakes up, she can't see it anymore. So she just has like the impression of what she did. So she's like, oh yeah, I knew that I was floating down my hallway. But like, and like, she says that she doesn't even dream in pictures. So all her dreams are like, she just knows inherently what's happening. So,
oh my gosh, that's so interesting.
I know. So she's one of the people, she's one of the people with aphantasia that like, literally she just doesn't process things like visually when she's in dreams. So it's like, she's like, oh, I knew inherently that I was doing this, this, and this, and I could feel the sensations of doing this, this, and this, but she doesn't see what's actually happening.
Okay.
Yeah. Interesting. So that just reminded me of that, because she's one of the people who's like, oh yeah, astral projection is like, you know, something that it appears in her dreams a lot. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, when I, just going back to your question a little bit, like, the noteworthy experiences are, like, the big, like, hyper-aware lucid dreams.
Yeah.
Like, those are the ones where, and I know we're not supposed to be talking about lucid dreams.
No, we can. I know. Literally, if you want to take this whole conversation in that direction, I will do it. 100%. Okay. So, if you want to do that, we will go ahead and do that. I will make this an episode on its own. I won't even cut this part. I won't even cut this part out. This whole interview, our interview, will be one episode. And
oh my gosh.
So if you want to take it in that direction, please go right ahead. And if you have any questions for me about like my dreams, then you can totally ask them, because they'll probably be questions that other people have as well. And they'll just be living vicariously through you. So, so whatever.
Those hyper aware lucid dreams, like, I've learned to do a lot of my dreams. And two nights ago, I'm skipping ahead, I'm gonna go there though. Like, two nights ago, I learned how to duplicate objects by like putting my, so what I was doing is I was like doing things with hula hoops. I don't know what I was doing, but my aunt showed up and she was like, what are you doing? And I was like, oh, let me show you this hula hoop trick. But I needed like several hula hoops to do it, and they all disappeared as soon as she came. So I was able to manifest one of them. And then I, like, put my hand over top of it and, like, traced it with my whole hand. And then I was able to pull a copy of the hoop out of it. And then I had two. And I repeated that process until I had a whole bunch. And I was also at the same time, like, telling my aunt that she was in a dream and that I was teaching her how to do this stuff. Because I always think when I see people, I'm like, we're dreaming together. Like, for whatever reason, like, I don't bring the logic in with
that
me.
Is so, that's so cute though. Oh my gosh, I love that.
I have
that.
So many times been like, what's your phone number? Like, I need to call you in the morning. Like, we're sharing a dream right now. Like, that was actually one of my first memories of a lucid dream. It must have been like grade 2 or something.
Yeah.
I remember we were flying around in like the schoolyard, and there was like my classmates there, and I was like, we're all dreaming. Isn't this great?
That's
like,
so that's cute.
Theme for me my whole life is that I just believe so wholeheartedly.
I love that. I love that so much.
But yeah, like those hyper aware ones, that's when I'm like doing shit like that, mm-hmm. where I'm like looking at the dream world and I'm like zooming in on it. And like, I found that I can command the dream world to become clearer. Like, if I want it to, if it's blurry and I'm like, you need to be clearer, it will. And like, then I can go zoom in on stuff, and it's all these like cool patterns and like weird moving shapes that are like coming together to make up an object. Like, I'm thinking of like when I will look at a leaf on a tree and like zoom in on it, and I'm like, it's a leaf, but it's also got so much like design and detail in there. And I'm like, how the hell am I creating this with my head? But yeah, so that's something I'll do. I'll just like study the things, or like, I learned when I was younger to like go through walls and windows, but that wasn't automatic. Like, I had to like press really hard on the wall until it let me through. Has that happened? Do you do any of this?
Yeah. So I have only gone through like walls it was actually only in one specific dream that I remember, honestly. I don't really do it that much, because normally my dreams take place in really open spaces. Like, I dream about being, on city streets or by the ocean on a beach or even in the mountains a lot.
Okay.
but I'm rarely confined in a building that even has like a low ceiling. Like if I'm indoors, there's a really high ceiling. So, but there was one time where I became lucid and I was in like super far down in like a basement of a building. And it was like all these winding hallways and like, it was like classrooms off to the sides.
Yeah.
And I could not find a way out. And then I was like, oh my gosh, like I can just go through the ceiling. So I pushed my way up through the ceiling. And that was weird because just like I didn't have feeling in my body as I was going through it. And that was just very odd. But like I went through the ceiling and then I went through, you know, like building insulation and yes. like, yeah. So like I saw like the building insulation and like wooden beams that were like holding up the next floor. And like, I went like all the way through. And then I went to the top of the building and then there was like a greenhouse up there. So I was still technically indoors because I was in the greenhouse. And that was really full. And then that one, it's been a while, but I remember because it was so vivid, but like, I got really excited and I summoned lightning. So I hit the building with lightning next door. And that was really cool. And then I think I either lost lucidity or I woke up after that. But, for a moment there, it was pretty insane, but most of the time I don't go through walls or windows or stuff or anything because I just don't have to because it's just not there.
That's so interesting. I dream about a ton of buildings.
Dang.
Like weird buildings. Like I'm always in strange buildings. I'd say I'm more often in buildings than not.
Wow.
And I'm like very into exploring them and like.
Yeah.
I don't know, just finding my way through them. But also, like, things get scary sometimes, and that's when I'm always like, hey, see ya. I, like, get out of there.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
I don't... Normally, I'm not confronted with something scary. You mean, like, it's scary when you're lucid, or, like, before, just in a dream?
Usually before, and I get lucid while it's happening, and then I'm like, oh, great, I can go.
So it almost like brings you clarity then.
Yeah, and I've found that over the years I've gotten so much better at just getting lucid. Like I listened to one of your episodes and you were talking about some techniques and like I think that's so great for people who are learning, but like also for people who've been doing it for years, it's like sometimes you just know. Like you just know what the dream world looks like.
Sometimes like, you're just sitting there talking to someone and you zone out for a second and you're like, this is not real. Like sometimes there's nothing that's even tangible that you're like, oh, that's weird. Like sometimes you overlook the tangible stuff. Like it doesn't matter that their skin is purple. What matters is that I'm sitting here and I just realize all of a sudden, oh, this is fake.
Yes. It's cool though because after listening to your podcast, I'm noticing things in dreams that I hadn't before. Like one thing you talked about is like, I think you said you asked a boy who was like morphing a bunch, like if he was part of your subconscious or something.
Yeah.
And I have never really done that. And like the next night I met someone in my dream and asked them, are you my subconscious? And they gave me like this really weird look and they were like, kind of like, no. But it was like they were lying, and then they were like, okay, yeah, like I am.
Okay, yeah.
And then they left, and that was it. So, like, I didn't have a conversation with them. But the other cool thing that I took from your podcast was you were saying that one way to know that you're in a lucid dream is like you don't remember how you got there.
Mm-hmm.
And that I never used that technique, but when you said it out loud, I like the next night or whatever had a dream where. I am moving to Halifax in real life, and I was there. I'm not there yet, and I was there already, and I was with my really good friend, and we were hanging out, and then I was like, wait, I didn't drive here yet.
Yeah.
And I was like, I haven't gotten here yet, and it was that got me lucid. Mm-hmm. And so, like, it's like hearing your experiences, I'm suddenly, like, having them in my dream, too, and it's it's been really cool because I didn't think that just listening to you talk about your lucid dreams would translate so heavily. So
yeah.
Quickly.
And that's why. So the episode that I did, the garbage in, garbage out episode, not like, I don't want to say not a lot, but not as many people listened to that episode. And like the stuff that I was talking about in that was just like everything in your life and everything that you do and everything that you focus on, like every single aspect of what you experience just translates into the dream. Like whether it's indirectly or directly, like it's gonna mirror there. There's nothing, there's nothing that doesn't translate. Like it's gonna be there in some small aspect. And so when people are like negative and pessimistic and just like all this stuff, and it like, and they think that like, oh, well, when I go to sleep, it's a break from reality. Like that's not true. So when people lead these like unhealthy lifestyles of like being so just like, they focus on stuff that's not positive all the time, like whether they mean to or not, like that's why. And like, this is kind of getting away from me right now, but like that stuff that like focusing on stuff that's like, that you know, that you love and that like inspires you, that's so important. Because when you go to sleep, when you go to sleep, you don't just shut off. Instead, you go deeper into yourself. That's what really happens. You go deeper into yourself. And so listening to like podcasts about lucid dreaming and watching YouTube videos and all of that stuff, like it absolutely increases the chance that you'll have a lucid dream. And it absolutely like changes your mental world and mental worldview, because that's just all part of who you are as a person. And who you are is all that lucid dreams are made of and all that normal dreams are made of. So
that's so well put.
Thank
and
you.
And it's so true, because it's like, even since I started listening to your podcast very recently, like you said, write your dreams down. And I've heard that a million times, but I get annoyed with that suggestion because it's like, I'm tired, you know, I don't want to. And like, what I will do is if I have a really great dream, I'll just like audio record it on my phone.
Yeah.
But that doesn't feel like the same level of like, it's so easy to still forget it then after.
Yeah.
It's just like, so since I've been listening, I've been writing them down, and like it's
amazing.
But like it's helping. Like I feel like even in the last couple of weeks, my lucid dreams have like gotten more lucid. They're more often. Like I'm doing things that I wouldn't have thought to do.
So okay, yeah. So for me, last night, you were talking about like when the dream is super lucid, and like, it sucks when it's like so lucid and then you just lose it and like you can't hold on to it anymore. This morning I woke up and it was like almost 6 a.m. and I was trying to go back to sleep, and I did go back to sleep, and I fell into this dream where I was going to school, but it was at my middle school, and that was odd. But also I was in the hallway at the school, and then I realized all of a sudden that it was a dream. And so last night before I went to sleep, I was reading this book that I absolutely love. And in the dream, because I was so close to waking up, because it was early in the morning and I had just gone back to sleep anyway, so I was so close to waking up. And in the dream, I was like, oh my gosh, like I need to go and like visit the world from that book. And I was in the school hallway and I started running down the hallway, but then my eyes were closed and then I couldn't see and it was dark and I was still running. And I was like, no, I can push through. Like, I'm not gonna wake up. I'm not gonna wake up. And then I just like, I lost my body. And then I felt my real body, and then it was just over. But like,
yes.
I was so close. There's, it's always when I'm awake that I'm like, oh, I want to do this, this, and this when I'm in a lucid dream. And then I'm there and it's just like, nope, don't remember any of that. It's like it's completely separate in so many ways, just the consciousness.
It's so weird that you say that, because like I agree with you. Like it's taken me months sometimes to like do a thing that I want to do in a lucid dream because I don't remember it. But then when I listen to you talk about it on your podcast the next night or something, I'm like having that experience. It's like, what's happening? Like,
I know.
It sometimes just immediately translates, and other times it's like you don't have that, your wits about you, and you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah. I have no idea why it works like that. I have no idea. Just
it's also like so interesting to me when you talk about like that balance of like staying asleep and like that hyper awareness that's gonna wake you up. Mm-hmm. But then like I really struggle with that too. Like when I get super, super lucid, I start you go into the void for a second and then you're just like awake.
Yep.
It sucks.
It's hard to stay underwater without like breaching that surface of awareness, and you're like no, like it's like it's like staying back a little bit without quite waking up, but you have to be aware enough to keep everything solid around you too. Like it's just such a weird experience, like and you know, people get so excited too when they lucid dream and then they talk about it with other people. Like this is exciting because the experiences that you and I have had, even though they're different and they're in our own dreams, like just that realm of reality, unless you've been there, is something so foreign to you because it's just so, it's unimaginable. And like, I don't think people understand how vivid it is. Because when you wake up, even when it's from a lucid dream and you know how vivid it was, like you can't even comprehend it. Because when you're there, you have these crystal clear moments and you're like, oh my gosh, this could be real. Because it's just like the tiniest detail of everything is so realistic. And just like, and like there's that whole thing with like the uncanny valley, right? Where people who make AI and like animatronics, there's this line that they have to walk to make the people look like people without making them look like monsters. And like when you're in a dream, you don't have that problem because your brain can just make people that look real even though they're simulated people and they're not real. And it's just all of it is just so cool, and that's why I have a podcast about this, because I think it's so cool. And like people, it's hard to talk about it unless you find someone else who's like as interested, but also they're like separately interested from you, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because if you tell somebody about it, like if they haven't done it, it's like they're either going to have like major FOMO or like they're just going to be like, I don't know what you're talking about. But what's really interesting, and like this is a total side tangent, but like there is like a sector of physics that is like looking into lucid dreaming and consciousness because of the way that we can like do world building inside of it.
Oh.
And like some physicists believe that consciousness is like a fundamental part of the structure of the universe, and like so that's why they are starting to like study lucid dreams, because it's world building, you know, and it's world building from consciousness, from nothing.
Yeah.
And like, I guess the idea is like, could a type of consciousness that's much more powerful than our own build this world? And so,
wow.
I get really excited about that stuff. Like, I don't know a ton about it, but like, it just makes me really like excited and optimistic, and like, this is a really cool skill to have.
It is. It's so interesting. And I think it could help a lot of people with a lot of different things. Because
yeah, you're right.
Like, seriously, I have said like a million times, like therapists need to look into lucid dreaming for things like exposure therapy and PTSD, because it's a simulation that you're entirely in control of. So if someone is deathly afraid of tarantulas, then them seeing a picture of a tarantula in their dream is even farther removed from them seeing an actual picture of a tarantula. Like, it's just one more step back that you can take for people who have those extreme phobias and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Because the way that those work is that they try to distance people from what they're afraid of, and then they slowly bring them to it, and they're like, see, it's okay. And like, lucid dreaming has so many oh my goodness, applications and stuff like that. And it's just, it's untouched by so many different fields that could use it.
That's so true. It really is. And like the amount, I wonder how many people could learn to do it if it was just like more commonplace.
A lot of people for sure.
Yeah, I bet that's true.
Yeah. The amount of determination though, and like, and the fact that you really do need to be like in control of yourself, and like you need to understand yourself to a certain degree, I think that that would be the main barrier for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. But I think that's like the one thing that I think would really stand in people's way.
Yeah, and I think that, like, I mean, even just from an intuitive level, like, I've never talked to anyone about this or even read about it, but like, I feel like there's fears I need to face in my lucid dreams, you know? Like, I often run away from my nightmares, but, like, when I process that in my waking life, I think about how it would be good to go into those situations and, like, figure out why I'm so afraid and, like, maybe prove to myself that I don't need to be, you know? And that feels like it would be a big thing for me in my own personal development to do.
Yeah.
And I'm usually too scared to do it, but the fact that I can have that option, you know, is like really
for sure. Yeah. And like, the fact that it's not physically real doesn't take away from like the level of courage that it takes to face those things, because you're like, yeah, it's a dream, but in the dream, it's still scary. And it doesn't take away from how much determination and strength you would have to face those things. So yeah, like I agree. If anything, it would help in like your development as a person, even if it was just because like your opinion of yourself would improve because of doing that. Because like at the end of the day, self-worth isn't determined by like any outside factors. Even people who totally suck can have high self-esteem. Like, so stuff like that. You can totally improve that stuff through lucid dreams and go on like this personal, very personal journey there. Like I have learned so much about myself through lucid dreams. That's just like so far outside the realm of reality that like, I would have never known any of that. Like it's the number of times that in just the series of this podcast, I've said it's crazy or it's insane. Like someone needs to go back and count them, because it's got to be over 1,000 at this point, because all of this is so wild to me and it's just so cool.
Yeah, and it's like so, it does build confidence because
you
feel like you're connected with your mind in a way that like
isn't
common, and like, not to be like, oh, I'm so special, but like it does feel like I've tapped into something that's important. It's definitely important to me, and like it just does make me feel like I do know myself a little
bit better. You, because you do, like,
yeah,
to be able to walk around in your own mind is like a sci-fi kind of thing, and like that's something that you've been able to do. So I did want to ask you while you were here, you mentioned earlier that you did talk to like a character who, after a bit of pushing, they claimed that they were like part of your subconscious. And I've only had one experience like that where they openly claimed that, but I do have like my recurring characters who show up, and obviously those are a part of my subconscious and just like my mind in general. So I wanted to ask you about that experience a little bit more, like how that even came about, and then also just like, do you have recurring characters, or if you don't have recurring characters, then maybe your dream signs, so just the things that you see in dreams all the time that like show up.
Okay. So like going back to that experience, it was pretty much as simple as I explained it before. I don't have much else to add. It was so brief. It was a blonde boy. He was probably, like, you know, young, like, maybe in his 20s. Nothing strange about him. Looked like a regular human. But, yeah, he just kind of, I was at my friend's apartment, and he just kind of showed up briefly. And I just was like, wait, are you part of my subconscious? Or are you my subconscious? Whatever. I don't remember what I said exactly. Pushed him a bit on it, and he admitted that he was, and then he was gone. Like, he didn't stick around.
Yeah.
He was kind of like exited stage left and is gone.
He's like, okay. He was like, yes. And then he's like, nailed it. And he just left. His line was said. He was done. Gone.
Yeah. And so I don't actually have, at least as far as I know, a lot of recurring characters. And I loved the episode you did about that, because I was like, I need to pay more attention to the people in my dreams. And I'm going to start doing that. And I think that was actually the start of me doing that, was that incident with the boy. But it's generally people I know. And if it's someone, yeah, I don't know, it's just that one dream, you mm-hmm. know, that they're in. But I'm really fascinated with that. And it's something I'm going to be working on and yeah. talking to more people to see if there are people that are recurring and I'm just not aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's generally people I know. And in terms of, like, the major sort of things that happen a lot, I don't know if this is a sign, but, like, I always think it's the other people in my dream are dreaming with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I love to, like, go up to people and convince them that they're dreaming with me. And the first time I did this was really exciting and kind of a fun dream, and feel free to cut this out if it's so boring, but... it was like I was in this hospital and it was scary, and like there was like an evil nurse, and like me and two other girls were kind of like held captive there, but we escaped. And then I became lucid once we left that situation. And then I was like, okay, we're in a dream. Like, I have to get your phone numbers. Like, we have to communicate when we wake up. And the one girl, I was talking to her, and she was starting to tell me her phone number, and then this car zoomed in really, really fast, and she just got in, and she, like, zoomed away. It's like this orange convertible.
No.
And I turned to the other girl, and I'm like, what's going on? And she's like, oh, she's waking up. And I was like, what?
Oh my gosh. So do your dreams break the fourth wall, like, pretty frequently then? Like, because... the fact that that character even acknowledged that you were in a dream and, like, affirmed the fact that you were in a dream. Like, a lot of people, their dreams never do that. Like, it's always very much hostile and, like, no, you're insane. Like, I'm at the point where in my dreams, if anything, it's neutral. Like, I have dreams where I'm doing stuff and, like, the people around me, they know that I'm aware, and so they won't, like, stop me or mess with me, but there's no, like, oh yeah, let's dream together, unless we're talking about Asher, in which case there's a lot of sarcasm and a lot of, like, yeah, this isn't real, but it's not, like, it's, like, he's not a very serious character ever. So, like, how often... are your dreams always like that, where they just accept?
I would say, like, no. I don't know what the split would be.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely have characters. No one's ever hostile. They're just, like, they sometimes are like, what? Like, there's maybe, like, a level of confusion.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just let it go, because, like, I have better things to do. Like,
Totally. You're like, dreaming, you're right? Like, yeah, you're not even real. I'm going to walk away now.
Yeah, but, like, more so recently, but I guess that the one dream I just recited was that I was quite young when I had that one.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like lots of people will be like, oh, cool, like, great to hear. And then I kind of, like, adopt this, like, teacher role where I'm like, let me show you how to do all this stuff, right?
I absolutely love that. Like, whatever personality you have in just waking life, like, walking around, you, like, you're awesome, because that's totally a reflection of that. Like really just, like, embracing people and trying to teach them and help them. Like, holy crap.
That's so nice, because I feel like a jerk sometimes. I'm just like, allow me to take the lead.
No. Oh my gosh. That's like, You're like embracing these mindless cardboard people and you're like, let me show you. Like,
I think it's just like a carryover of how fascinated and excited I am in that moment. Yeah. And I'm just like, I have to share this. Like last night or the other night when I was telling you about the replicating objects and yeah. showing my aunt how to do that, I was just so excited to show her because I felt like it was her.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
But yeah, no, I really look forward to like getting better acquainted with the people in my dreams because my dreams are often really solitary. Like I'm often in a dreamscape either alone or the people are like really far removed.
Yeah.
I spend a lot of time just like looking around and experimenting and like checking stuff out. I tend to be more interested in that than the people. But as I listen to your podcast and hear from you, I find myself more and more interested in the people. It's just something that didn't really occur to me.
Yeah, because you were like, well, they're not real. Why would I care?
Yeah, I think like if it's somebody that I know and they're like a really big part of the dream, then they're just a part of the dream.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's like not, then they're so like background and so like unformed almost that it's like, but I like find myself in cities all the time, just totally alone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I actually can't think of a dream where I was actually alone. I'm always surrounded by people and there's always something that everyone's doing or like that the group that I'm with is doing. Like I'm never isolated unless for some reason I've left the group probably to do something for them. Like I always have like a specific squad that I'm with for the dream storyline, whatever it may be.
That's interesting.
Yeah. And a lot of the times the recurring characters are the ones that are in that group. So, yeah. So like a lot of the times Asher will be there, even if he's only there for like 2 seconds, like he makes an appearance and it's like, oh yes, I am here with you. And I'm like, hey. And like, It's funny too because I wake up and I'm like, oh my gosh, that was totally Asher. But in the dream, I'm just like I don't think about that at all. So like just because the characters are there and like maybe I even know who they are, but it doesn't mean that I make the connection. Like it doesn't even help me, honestly. like for a lot of people it helps them because they're like, oh, I recognize that it was so and so and they exist in my dreams. But for me, unless I become lucid independently of that, it really does not help me for some reason.
Have you ever been able to like summon a person that you wanted to see?
Other than when I had the whole like search where I was looking for Asher, I don't remember trying to summon someone before, but I feel like I have, but I can't remember any specific instances doing that.
Okay.
I think most of the time, instead of summoning, I just go look for them. Because it's like part of the whole dream. Because I'm very much like, I really embrace it. And I'm like, yes, let's go look for them. And so like, I go kind of explore on my way and I look for them.
I still think that's like a type of summoning though, right? Because you are now telling your dream that you want to see that person.
Yeah. Yeah. It creates a lot more barriers though than if you just summoned them.
I don't know. Like when I try to summon people, it's like never very successful.
Yeah.
Like they're like partially there.
Yeah.
Like really like unformed.
I just mean like there are more opportunities to lose lucidity because it takes so much more time. Like
that's a lot of work.
Yeah. Like in the sequence of that dream that I fell into where I was trying to find him, like the whole thing where like I was walking in a park which is where I first spawned, and then there were people doing yoga and I was like, I could join them for yoga, but I'm not going to. Like every single thing that I came upon, I had to actively be like no and like reject it. And it's just like the longer that it takes for you to keep going through and rejecting all these things, like first of all, you're wasting time because you only have so much time that you're in the dream, but also like it's just so many distractions that you'll probably fall for one or the other at some point. So I think summoning is probably like directly summoning through a door or something is not easier, but like a more direct way to do it than wandering around. And of course I've seen some cool stuff through wandering around. But I wouldn't recommend it as like the top method.
I feel like that's what I do. Like I often, like when I have dream characters, it's because I'm not lucid yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I get lucid and then I'm like, okay, I'm out of here.
That's
like,
so interesting.
I don't ever really tend to stay in whatever dream I'm in.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean that I'm like inventing a whole different place, but I just get so curious to like go explore.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that's when I'm usually by myself because I took off.
Yeah.
But, it's like, I've definitely tried to like create full worlds out of nothing and like that's impossible and like I can get part of it done. But what I've been experimenting with a lot lately is just like manipulating the world I'm already in with my hands. That seems to do it. Like if I just try to use my brain to like make something happen or change something, it doesn't work as well as if I like get right on top of it and like with my hands try to like. Like, I remember, what wasn't going to make sense, but I changed the shoreline. Like, I was like, I want the shoreline to be a little bit farther this way. And so I just swept my hand over, like, the part that I could see, and then I was able to move it.
Yeah.
But I needed that sort of, like, transition of my hand over it.
To, like, yes! Sometimes you need to just make it happen. Like, the suggestibility, it's there.
Yeah.
And, like, for sure, you can just, like, hope that something happens, and maybe it will. But the act of saying or doing something to make it happen, like that just has even more power.
Yeah, and I think I'm just like starting to discover that.
Yes, there's
like the intentional motion of creation.
Yes, yeah. It's lucid dreaming as a skill. Like I don't think you could ever stop learning because I don't think that there's like only so much you can learn because it's as limitless as your mind is. So you, as long as you keep doing it and keep practicing it, like the skill that it is, like you're just going to keep getting better and better.
Yeah.
And I think the only danger in that is when you hear about people who like create worlds from scratch and they almost get like lost in them. And like those, like some of those stories, I think people should, first of all, like take that with a grain of salt because the amount of determination and the amount of sleep that it would take to get there is like pretty obscene.
Mm-hmm.
But just, I don't know. I think sometimes when you get too far from what dreams like are supposed to be, which is kind of random nonsense, then you're kind of overlooking like almost the nature of dreams and like what they should be. Because they should be kind of dumb and like you shouldn't take them too seriously. Like that's what they are.
Yeah, I think I used to think that like I could get to a point where I would just be building a full world from scratch and like that would be sort of like the end goal. But I really feel differently about that now. I feel like I want to be a part of what's happening and yes, I want to experiment and I want to get better at like making things happen.
Yeah.
But I want to do it within the confines of what's already there because that's like my brain creating things in a way that I'm not in control of. And that's exciting too.
It is.
Like that's who you are at like a really like bare bones level.
Yes. Yes. 100%. You know, we are speaking the same language. I see it the same way. Like every dream is unique, but it's also like, every dream's the same because it still came from you. And it's just like,
that and your podcast has been so great for me in that way. So I'm pulling back from that and from like the how powerful can I become to more like what can I discover?
Yeah.
And that feels way more exciting and like way less challenging to be honest.
It is. It's less daunting. It's like it takes less work, first of all. But also, like, there's already so much to explore that you don't even have to create more stuff. Like,
yeah.
Oh, it's so awesome. So, is there anything else that you wanted to say on the air right now? Like, any other topics that you feel like you really need to get off your chest and talk about?
I feel like I've talked about so much. I did write a couple things down, but we've circled all through it naturally. And yeah, I think that's pretty much it.
Yeah. Okay. So let's end the episode right here. And okay. I want to thank you so much for being on the podcast. This has been amazing. And the point that I've even gotten to the point where people would want to be guests on this podcast, like, that's so crazy. So,
thanks so much for having me. Like, this was really equally as exciting for me. I've never been on a podcast. And,
well, now you can say you have. Like, put that on your resume. Like,
I'm going
to. You should. So, this has been super fun. And I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I really love your podcast.
Thank you. That means so much.
That's great.
So to everyone listening, I want to thank you so much for listening. And please tune in to maybe the next episode, maybe the interview that's coming after this one in the same episode. I don't know how I'm going to edit it yet, but you know better than I do because you're the one listening. And it's already out at this point. So thank you very much and dream on.